Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming live to you every single day, talking about HR with the people that are out there getting it done. So let's get to our guests, because we got some more good stuff, one of my favorite topics to talk about today. So David Bernstein, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Well, welcome to you, and thank you for having me. I'm very honored and pleased to be here.
So, and we're going to jump right into it, have you introduce yourself, and then we're going to get to what's top of mind for you and your the world of data. So introduce yourself to our guests. Yeah.
Sure. Well, so started my HR career way back in a small HR department at a company called PeopleSoft. Had that fortunate opportunity nearly 20 years back now to really kind of be at the forefront because we were users of a product that was also penetrating the market incredibly quickly, and we had to be ahead of the curve on how we used it, but also why we were using it that way. And that's always been a driving force in my philosophy behind all of the HR and technology and practitioner activities I've been involved in throughout the course of my now career. I currently sit in a role where I head up our product management and product strategy and vision around how we deliver a data analytics service to our customers that's squarely focused on the talent acquisition space. But that said, I am also very involved in, because of what we do here is so focused on big data, I'm finding that a good 50 to 60% of my time is actually spent on the broader topics of the value of data and analytics and explaining the utility of it and why it makes a matter in an HR practice. So anyway, I'm pleased to be able to be here to spend a little time furthering that objective.
Nice. David, this is William. Let's separate a little bit of the hype from what you really see, you know, with your clients, without kind of getting into anything proprietary to your clients, of course. There's a lot of hype. We're going to HR Tech next week. 400 vendors, at least 390 of them will be talking about big data, little data, metrics, analytics, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's a lot of noise. And I'm going to get the hype-o-meter out. And the hypometer is just going off the charts. What are you seeing, like the real use, the real, you know, use case for big data right now with some of y'all's clients, and even not with your clients, but like how are people really, really using big data right now?
So I actually just I came out of a forum recently, about 2 weeks back. It was in Chicago. I had the opportunity to help lead a conference on this. And it was just fascinating to see the difference between companies that are thinking about it versus companies that are actually implementing it. And it really, one is more of a kind of curiosity from a bottoms up, those are that are thinking about it. But those who are actually implementing it, it's really a top-down enterprise strategy, and HR is a component. And then HR is now involved in the from a strategic aspect of running the business. Otherwise, it's much more of a metrics and data, just day-to-day reporting activity versus running a business, right? Are you following my line of thought there?
I'm trying.
And so these HR applications and services and, you know, everybody, it is a noisy space, and unfortunately our profession is often given the reputation. I read a piece that was opened, it was a class curriculum inviting HR people to attend to learn how to be more analytic, and the opening phrase was, it's been said that HR people are good with words, not with numbers, and unfortunately that pervades the profession, that reputation, and I think there's a fair amount of truth to the extent that what the skills that brought most of the world of people into the HR profession that we have today, the leadership today, it wasn't necessarily what the new world of running a business requires from an HR team. And so we have a great crossroads where the need of the hour is, you know, to be much more involved in running business and recommending people strategies. But the tools, the skill set, the mindset, all of that is kind of, there's a pretty large gap. So the HR tech vendors throwing solutions at this without addressing the core issues is, I don't think, going to really further the objective.
Now, I just wrote about this last week at Fistful of Talent, and I talked about adding STEM to the base card, the body of knowledge, SHRM and HRCI's body of knowledge. And, you know, it probably scares the bejesus out of people that I want to shape the curriculum up, you know, and add science, technology, engineering, mathematics. But I'm with you. I actually see it, you know, from the perspective of coding is the new literacy. So you know, it's not enough to buy technology. You actually need to know how technology works and how data works. But you know, so how do we change that? Like you're talking about it, I'm talking about it, Brian's talked about it before. Like, okay, three guys agree. How do we get the larger audience to kind of see that future?
Well, I see two core ways, one of which is what I'm trying to do here from my view, which is provide outside help. So while the profession is trying to figure out how they'll do it internally, it's not a wait and see or have to wait till build it and then get the results. So there are opportunities to either bring in consulting or find outsourced vendors that will help you cover the gap in the interim. But what was fascinating in this big data forum that I was had the opportunity to help kind of take a leadership role in was those employers that sent attendees were clear that they needed to close the gap and they weren't going to be able to do it by schooling their HR people quick enough in that STEM-oriented curriculum. So what they've done is they've either done on a temporary or fully hired people from outside of HR who have those skills and are finding it faster to teach them HR concepts by sharing the chair and blending the team up, but really putting people in the HR centers of expertise that are going to be focused on data analytics, taking them in, though, from a statistics background, a mathematics background, a physics background, economist background, financial analyst background. It was fascinating to see the number of attendees who were from an HR department but were not with a traditional HR background. I actually even saw physicists and musicians in attendance. So
that's
fascinating.
I'm sure people have studied it, but I always think of people that are good at math are also good at music. Like, at least people that are classically trained with music, there's got to be some type of relationship between mathematics and music.
Correct.
Somebody smarter than me, hopefully, has already figured this out.
Yeah, well, kind of dividing the measure up into 30-second notes or something, right? Being able to these people are also not only are they good at these kind of core skills on the mathematics side, their comfort with numbers. But they also bring a new perspective in terms of they've been dealing with trying to apply numbers to a business sense. They just don't necessarily know how that relates in an HR speak. So it's really a blended opportunity. This new world of HR, though, requires some amount of the team to be able to know how to do this, and then another part of the team to then know how to integrate those insights into the business conversation. Because honestly, that was the other key thing that emerged was there are companies doing some of this by closing that gap with outsiders, but then their challenge becomes how do they get their HR teams to digest all that new insight and be able to use it in cogent conversation with their business executives.
What are some of the barriers to big data that you see?
Well, I actually was just reading a study. It looks like, you know, enterprise-wide, you know, no one's going to put up big data infrastructure only for an HR activity. And what I'm seeing so far is that still there's about 50% of U.S. enterprises are still sitting on the sidelines, unsure about how to proceed from a big data perspective, despite all the clear wins that are happening in marketing and other business areas. So there's just the whole business exercise around adopting a big data view of the world. right? That whole idea of understanding that data coming in and looking at what's flowing versus what's stocked up in a database and held in a repository, and the whole difference of, you know, forecast and foresight versus hindsight and historical look back. So there's a whole mindset that has to happen in the enterprise. HR is not solely responsible for that, right? So
right.
But then within the profession, I am not finding – I find, for example, my biggest competition when I'm trying to just have these kind of conversations with practitioners isn't about them trying to pitch another vendor against me in a conversation. They're anecdotal evidence. They're status quo ways of doing things. And I don't know if it's because of the aversion and the comfort level of – but there's a lot of belief that I know what to do, and the data, being data-minded, a data-first ethos, what will the data tell us? That's not necessarily the way we've approached running the HR activities up until now. So there, I mean, I would encourage, along with, like you said, adding STEM to the HR curriculum, but also there has to be an interest in how to integrate this data in. It's not something that's peripheral. It's part of the sandwich.
How much does fear or guilt or anxiety come into play as it relates to our apprehension to basically unharness or harness big data?
Oh, I'm with you 100%. I mean, it can be there's a demonized moment, right? I think that if we're not comfortable with it, then it's easy to discount it. And this is where we, as HR, that's why I'm using the phrase a data-first ethos. If we as HR practitioners can get to a state where we say some amount of data, we should always be trying to collect something. What would the data tell us? I want to make some decisions or recommendations here. What can I rely on more than just my limited past experiences and calling that data?
If I say the phrase, which is the CEO's dilemma, and for those that follow this, is basically, I don't know what I don't know. That's the CEO's dilemma. Every CEO, doesn't matter what company you're running, that's the dilemma. I don't know what I don't know. How does that relate to big data for you?
Well, when HR can come forward, see, big data is really about not just looking at data that's flowing fast, but it's also about it's the mashup, right? If we're... And when HR is able to look at what they've collected and across some numerous disparate HR systems, but blending it more importantly with external data and company performance data, that's where HR has the opportunity to say things like, what are the places we might want to open up a shop, or what are the skill sets that we're looking like we're going to be deficient in, given our future business plan, and how we tie that into workforce planning and, you know, internal talent management. It's about using this kind of data to create forecast models that then guide a conversation. And forecasts are never guarantees, but they are based on information. And because big data is about recently collected as it's flowing in information, those trend lines are much more relevant, in my opinion. You know, it's like the difference of if you took a snapshot of a busy intersection and then you tried to look at that picture as a way to cross the street, but doing that 5 minutes later even, it's hindsight data. So the advantages of being able to make forecasts against current, more recently collected data. And in HR, we don't have, you know, transactions happening at the speed of Walmart, but we definitely have our own cycle times and our own version of big data in HR, especially when we bring in that information from how that it impacts, attendance or defect rates or, you know, some amount of either profitability or revenue understanding of what we're doing in HR and trying to tie it to a future impact on the business. That's where the HR teams have the opportunity to say, yeah, you don't know what you don't know, so let me tell you some things that it looks like where we're headed. And if we don't do something about that now, here's what the data is telling us. it's saying, it's, I'm using this information to make this statement to you, and here's my recommendation now as a result. It's not, otherwise it's just data that sits in a bucket.
Hey, David, this is Brian. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally tracking on that. So what's kind of your response when you get the age-old data doesn't tell us everything? We're in the people business. It's not really a science, and data sometimes takes the people component out of it. What's your response?
Yeah, the art of doing something then says you're relying on the artist's current skill level. And if you can blend, if you can make that artist smarter so that they guide their next steps as they then decide which way they want to be artful, I'm trying to blend the two statements together. Any statement that starts with there's only one way to do things, I think is the wrong set point. You know, when you incorporate the two together, it's a much more powerful opportunity. I'm going to inform how I apply the art of what I've learned how to do well in partnering or business process reengineering or, where are we at risk, right? Seeing these risks ahead of time and using that knowledge to then implement all my HR skills and arts. The two go hand in hand, and that's how I often kind of encourage the HR practitioners that I'm talking to kind of think about it.
Nice. Well, let me do a quick reset for everybody. You're listening to Drive-Thru HR, Brian and William on with David Bernstein. So, David, what are some things that you can share, some kind of terms maybe or concepts that our audience need to kind of get a grasp of to really start having big data conversations and start understanding the power of what potentially could happen with big data?
Well, there is so much terminology at the technical level of big data. I think if HR people were just much more tuned into the concepts of what the value of big data brings, that's where HR needs to pay attention. These concepts of what predictive analytics, for example, can do, and why would that? How having that level of foresight, based on this data, that's where HR hopefully can influence the conversation on if their enterprise is already engaged in some amount of, let's say, warehousing and data collection, how does HR get included in that? We need this kind of predictive capability to an HR because here's what we want to do. Understanding the terminology, not the technology. We got to partner with our IT partners on making the infrastructure happen. HR needs to be able to articulate why these needs apply to what they're doing.
You've mentioned a couple of terms so far, and using performance data and external data. And I don't want to assume that everyone kind of has the same, the same aperture for kind of consumption of these types of terms. If you don't mind, David, let's go backwards and tell us when you say performance data, you mean, and when you say external data, you mean?
Well, so when, on the external side, HR, we could easily start tapping into the information that we can collect from government sources, for example. And again, that's not always easy. There are vendors, though, that package that nicely. Packaging that, though, incorporating that in workforce analytics, when we start to understand where are we going, our workforce plan, what do we have internally, we tie that planning to then our acquisition. We know how many people we're likely need to be buying, acquiring, and where would we likely find the best talent pools for that? What labor markets, how do we want to source for those? What's typically been successful, leveraging external data, unemployment rate information, skills information, that's just one example of some of the external data that can be incorporated.
When I say little data or tiny data, what does that mean to the practitioner?
little data. So, you know, I think one of the things that's going on in this whole conversation is that there is no Oxford-level dictionary definition of what big data truly means. And so I think people are getting caught up in a number of terabytes that data has to equal before it equals big data. And from so we could say a small employer will never have, you know, the terabytes and the petabytes size of information, but they have large data that's relative to their size of their business and what their cycle times are relative. Again, I'm trying to bring the conversation more to the characteristics of big data, I think, can scale, because what we're learning is that big data is really more about looking at data in a as it's coming in, not after the fact. It's looking at it from an analytic, not a metric perspective. It's looking at it from a, you know, I want to forecast and use this some of this data, so there's some a little bit more advanced statistics, but there are packaged solutions that HR teams can run these data sets through, or they can partner, bring in the skills. It's about more about trying to get HR to understand how to use these same concepts of big data, even if it's on the smaller scale.
MBAs, especially quant-oriented MBAs, there's a term called analysis paralysis that usually they get labeled with, that they keep waiting for the data. They keep waiting for the spreadsheet to then help them make the decision or make the decision for them. And HR is on the other end of that, where they've used intuition and gut and anecdotal. They've used that type of evidence for the longest time. Do you fear or do you see a world in which HR would ever have analysis paralysis, or they, you know, somehow they've now that we've imagined a world where we're dependent on big data in such a way that would we ever suffer from them not being able to make decisions because either we don't have enough data, or it's not robust enough, or it's not the picture isn't as clear as we want it to be? Like, do you fear that world for HR?
No, honestly, William, what I fear more, and as I have had the opportunity to be on the speaking circuit and meeting with other thought leaders as well as practitioners in this, is the concern is more about what HR would be relegated to if they don't start finding ways to incorporate data into their conversation. One simple study, most HR leaders are reporting into the executive teams. That's clear, 80%+. You can find study after study that talks about that. But there's also studies that talk about the satisfaction level that those executives are finding from their HR partnership at that level. They want HR to be involved at that level for business integration and planning. And if HR people can't talk that talk with some amount of recommendation based on here's our business and here's our direction and what is the people's strategy to make that happen, the gap, then HR falls back to where their comfort zone is, which is much more about operations and HR transactions. And if we don't figure out how to move out of that realm, we'll be relegated backward. So all this forward progress the definition of strategic, right, is a designed and planned activity. Mm-hmm. Strategic HR business partners, you can't just say you're strategic and then still only talk about employee relations and compliance issues and basic HR policies, right? There has to be a component where you're meeting your business executives where they live and breathe, which is trying to understand how to make decisions on, and they're using information daily to kind of guide them. So I fear more the opposite.
Gotcha. Your favorite, I call it the aha moment or a wow moment. You know, you've seen a lot of these things, these, you know, case studies or how people are using big data. If you can, for the audience, kind of illustrate a couple wow moments where you're like, huh, I had no idea we could even do that. Or, even if it's in a presentation that you've seen, just some wow moments of people that have used big data to really kind of move their business forward.
Sure. A simple one that comes immediately to mind was a customer that was dealing with high-level attrition. Their staffing was always behind the curve, and as a result, the business impact was not only were they less productive, but they also had huge overtime cost because they always had to cover it. And so that was, when they framed it that way, it wasn't just about days to fill was excessive and it was, or that, you know, high attrition rates. When they looked at it from a business impact of those, here's what it meant. The vacancies and the attrition led to this kind of loss of productivity and high cost and overtime. And when they started to look at the attrition rates, they saw zip code overlay, and they started looking at transportation routes. And the bottom line is they saw that there was attrition in pockets around their business. And when they changed their sourcing strategies as a result of what they saw in the data, they were much more effective in filling those positions in a timely manner and be able to, you know, have a much more near fully staffed moment, and therefore the reduction on the overtime and the impact on increased productivity, right? It's these kinds of ways that HR has, you know, at back-end activities that have an impact on the front of the business. I saw another example where they looked at their past project pipeline, one customer. They looked at their sales pipeline for incoming projects that would likely close. They saw the proximity to the dates of when those new projects might come to be, and they started to looked at their HCM skills inventory. And when they blended that external data, right, outside the non-traditional HR data, so sales pipeline and past projects, they realized that they didn't have enough of the right skilled people for the upcoming business needs that would likely come to be. Right, and not only that, but then when they saw that the level of gap in the skills, the training was not going to, there wasn't enough time in the timeline, so they actually had a bifurcated plan to increase their training, but also to go out to the street and find the right ways to bring new talent into the business that could immediately be ready and hit the ground running. So, again, forecasting and planning and lasering and targeting, these are some of the extra kinds of questions and value that this kind of data brings. But you can't do it if you don't have the skills, if you don't have the tools, if you're not even trying to ask these kinds of questions.
Okay, David, great, great examples. Last question, we've got about a minute and 45 seconds left. Mm-hmm. So how does HR deal with the age-old issue of garbage in, garbage out? So big data, when it's bad data, is absolutely worse than worthless. So what do they do with that? Where do they start?
You know, you're right, and this is where the core of any project, and it's not relegated only to big data, right? We the same governance, master data management, business process, all of the same issues apply. They may feel exacerbated in the big data world. You see it quicker, maybe, but it's not unique. So this is where past projects and in the IT world on these have to come to bear. The infrastructure has to be in place. I'm with you 100%. Garbage in, garbage out. The other version is nothing in and nothing out. And making inferences on these kinds of data, yes, is really dangerous. So you definitely need people who understand what data is required and when is it clean and when is it timely, and all of the data czar, data infrastructure activities are key. So can't forget that.
Perfect. Well, David, thank you so much for coming on with us and spending lunch. Great conversation. This conversation is obviously going to continue into HR Tech, and it'll be fun to kind of see all the different directions and misdirections, if we're being candid, that things will go here in the next couple weeks. So, great, folks. We are out of time, and we are out of here.
A long December, and there's reason to